Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I saw an article that Sharon Stone is going to appear in a new Basic Instinct film, Basic Instinct 2, that the 42-year-old actress has agreed to reprise her dangerous vixen role for the film Basic Instinct. And this would be Basic Instinct 2. This would be the second one. The motive for her return may be cash, since the blonde star did the original. In 1992, she's earned as much as $6 million per film. And she will reportedly earn a startling $15 million for the sequel. Now, if you saw Basic Instinct and you're a man, you know that there is one scene that stands out above all others. And that was the scene where she's being interrogated in a, it looks like it's a police interrogation room. And she goes to uncross her legs and recross them, and there is a split second there where we are led to believe that we get a shot up her dress of early morning dew because she ain't wearing no underwear. Now, why did I say we're led to believe that? Because I'm firmly convinced that I don't know how many millions of men since 1992 have been told that's what they saw, but they're not really sure what they saw. Because I'm going to tell you this. I've seen that movie, and I don't know what I saw. Now, forgive me. I'm 47. I'm married. I've been around a little bit. I think I know what one looks like. And guess what? I think what I saw was a pair of perhaps yellow underwear. Or maybe part of a bodysuit. What I saw was a yellow underwear with a happy face on it. All these guys saw that movie, Basic Instinct. They say, oh, yeah, when she uncrosses her legs, wow, whoa, whoa, man. You look at that movie, go, how do you know? You guys have been told that's what you saw. Because if you go back and see that movie, go ahead, put it on pause, put it on slow-mo. I don't give a crap what you do. You don't know what you're looking at. She's uncrossing her legs, and what? What exactly are you looking at? You're looking at her legs, and what's up there in the middle? Underwear, as far as I'm concerned. Don't look like anything else. Wait for the DVD, Mike Schaefer, my producer, says, and use the digital pause. Hopefully you'll get a clear picture. Possibly. You know, that's the thing. It's the thing. You're told certain things happen, but you don't know whether they really happen or not. And you don't stop to think about whether they happen or not. You're just, well, you remember when it's like the emperor has no clothes. It's the same thing. You know, everybody says this is what it is. And so you just kind of go along with it for fear that you don't. For what? Maybe you're crazy. Maybe you should be seeing it, but you're not. And, you know, maybe someday if you believe hard enough, you'll have seen it. You know, it's like whatever, Pinocchio, maybe, Peter Pan. If I really believe hard enough that Sharon Stone wasn't wearing underwear when that shot. And the other thing about so many of these films, this is the day and age of some fairly sophisticated adult films, pornography of every stripe, all kinds of graphic scenes of every kind of sexuality. And we get all nuts about the scene in Basic Instinct. Like this is the height of real class A porn. Like some, I mean, we're really looking at something there. She uncrossed her legs for a split second, and oh, God. Well, you didn't see nothing, because I don't think there's anything there to see. I think she was wearing underwear. Now, did she get into an argument or a fight with the director of the film? Because apparently she wasn't wearing any underwear, because that's what her character would do. And according to Melissa Morgan, who writes for our show, and when I say she writes for our show, she came in with a little monkey notebook today, which I want to set fire to. She claims that she got into an argument with the director of that film because he took that picture or did that, and she was told that that would never happen, and it would be tasteful, and all of this baloney. So the next time you watch that movie, and I know that I'm probably inspiring a lot of you to go out and rent that, go ahead and slow it down. Put it on pause. There's nothing there, Charlie. I'm not saying that she is. I'm not saying that she isn't. But what you see between her legs is not recognizable as a woman's privates. It's underwear. It's I don't know what it is. Rent the director's cut. Maybe it'll be on that. See if you can't get the director's home movies. Maybe it'll be on that. I don't know. But that's the only reason why that film is known, is as notorious as it is, because of that. And you know what? Sharon Stone is not a half-bad actress. She's pretty much known for that scene, period, isn't she? Now, she did a great turn in Casino. That was a good movie and some other things. But the only thing she's really known for is pulling her legs apart there for about one millionth of a second. And it never happened. It wasn't there. Can you think of anything else? I mean, there's been so many times people have said, oh, did you see the, no, I didn't see it. I don't think it, or what are you kidding? Well, I'm telling you, it was there. It was there in black and white. Oh, you mean it was a black and white print?
Yes.
I swear to God, these guys, man, people will believe anything. They just so very much want to believe what they're told to believe. What was that flick we were talking about the other day? They had some bullcrap in there that wasn't really there. Somebody said it was, and someone said this happened or that happened and didn't really happen. You know, we were talking about some movie the other day that had the same vestiges of BS. That's how you get these movies sold, you know? You got to like get the word of mouth going on some of this stuff. There supposedly was the word sex written in the clouds in the movie Lion King. I don't think anybody bought that one. Sex. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something else. That gerbil story about Richard Gere. Come on already. Why did I, you know, of course he's not going to sue anybody because it means you'd have to sue half the world. That Richard Gere gerbil, urban legends. But I'll tell you something right now, that Sharon Stone thing with the legs in that movie, that was no urban legend. That's everybody swears to God that that's exactly what happened, that when she pulls her legs apart, you can see something. You can't see nothing. Okay, Charlie? Give up on that one. Ain't nothing there. But what do you want to bet with this new movie, Basic Instinct 2? They're going to have to do it again, aren't they? They're going to have to. It's the only reason why anybody's going to want to see that movie. I'll go see the flick. I thought it was a pretty good flick, you know. I thought it was very interesting. It was a real murder mystery thing. And you know what? I would probably, for a good movie, I'd be happy if she didn't pull her... Wizard of Oz would have hanging the... You're right. Thank you. But, you know what? They're going to have to put some kind of a leg spread shot in the Basic Instinct 2. Some lo-fi spread of some kind. Otherwise, people are going to say, well, hell, why'd I put my $750 on the table in the first place? Some guy got hung in the Wizard of Oz. All right, Phil Hendry here. Coming up, The Prophet on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil the Prophet Hendry. Dial in. The leading conservative voice in American talk radio. The Prophet. Call in now. 1-800-449-8686. Here he is. Leading the conservative wave. Phil the Prophet.
All right, thanks a lot, Bud Mundine. Bud Mundine, who does the announcing on our show. And welcome back here to the Phil the Prophet Show. We're going to be talking an awful lot today about some of the issues that a lot of you people care about. And a lot of you have written and called our prophet line to let us know just what a major impact we're making in your town. And we want you to always remember that the prophet is with you as we try to take the wind out of those windbag liberals in Washington. Huh? You know what I mean. Now, one of the things the liberals love to tell you is that the conservative cause has rolled back civil rights. Well, I'm here to tell you that some prominent black and Negro legislators are conservatives and are very proud of the conservative cause. We stand for individual rights. The conservative movement in America always has. Now, I say that while telling you a story. My daughter came home from school, the end of the school year the other day, with a young man that she had gotten to know at school. And I want to tell you, there is not a bigger proponent of civil rights and the civil liberties of minorities in this country than I. And that means doing it without the handout from Washington. Let's hear it. Without what? The handout from Washington. All right, Peanut Gallery. That's what we're talking about. But my daughter came home the other day, nonetheless, with a young man of African descent, and she said to me, "Hey, Dad, I want to date this fellow and possibly marry him at the end of the summer." And I did what a lot of you would do. I said, "Honey, that's fine, but I'm not going to let you do that because, first, I have to wrap a length of rope around his neck and hang him from a tree in our backyard. And don't tell me I'm a racist. There's not a racist bone in my body. Don't go playing the race card with me. But when your daughter says she wants to marry a black guy, naturally, you want to loop a little hemp around his neck and just tug on a branch from a tree and hoist him right up there. Am I right or am I wrong? Come on. Don't go down that race road with me. You know as well as I do, there isn't a racist bone in my body. I have stood for the individual rights of people in this country for a long time. Conservatives have stood for the individual rights of people in this country for a long time. But you know as well as I do that a black man walking through the door with your daughter looks a lot like King Kong coming through the door, doesn't it? Very reminiscent of a primate. Let's take some phone calls. Tell me what you think about that. 1-800-449-8686. Higher on the air.
Yeah, man, you are the biggest racist.
Oh, don't go down that road with me, buddy. Talk some sense, okay?
What do you mean talking about a guy looking like a monkey?
Oh, yeah, see? That's what you liberals love to do. You love to twist it all around, okay? Get out of here. There, I blew you up, buddy. Well, I'll tell you.
I'm still here.
Okay, get out of here.
Look, making that noise with your voice isn't going to get me to go away. Okay?
Get out of here. Hang up on him, will you? Jeez. Look, the last thing I want is a bunch of little half-nigglets running around in my backyard. That doesn't make me a racist. Don't misunderstand me. I have too many black friends to count, but none of them go out with my daughter. Let's take another phone call. Hi, you're on with the Prophet, Phil Henry.
Yes, Prophet, you are wonderful, and really the things you say make sense. I saw a Negro man coming through my yard the other day, and I shot him with a shotgun my husband had left me.
But then you're not a racist, are you?
Of course I'm not, no. And that's what they don't understand. And just, by the way, as he was dying, he reached up and put my mail into my mailbox for me. What do I do with the bag of the other mail, do you know?
You know what, we can contact the post office for you, but in the meantime, just hold on to it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. There you go. You see that kind of thing? You got a lot of people out there. And a lot of people are making sense on this whole race deal. I got a lot of black friends. A lot of them. This is Phil the Prophet, 1-800-449-8686, taking your phone calls here as we talk about the conservative view. Let me tell you something else, my friend. I was in Las Vegas for a series of conclaves and conventions of conservative thinkers, and I was there, and don't start judging me just yet, okay? I was there with the 17-year-old friend of my son's, and while we were there a few months back, I got her knocked up. She got pregnant. I took her south of the border to a clinic where they aborted the almost 9-month-old fetus. Don't call me some kind of a pro-choicer, though, okay? I believe in life. I believe in the sanctity of life. Now, when they pulled this little fetus out in pieces, by the way, they used pruning shears, I had to, oh, well, hold on, let me just take a phone call.
Yes, Prophet, you sound like the biggest ass. How could you go down and give an abortion to a 7 and you're still pro-choice?
You don't get it, do you, pal?
No, I don't get it. You go out and get an abortion for a 17-year-old, but you're pro-life.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. That's what you liberals like to do, twist everything around.
I don't like twisting around, you jackass. You went out and got a third trimester abortion.
Ah, get out of here.
Go ahead. Make the funny noise. What'd you do? Just blow me up?
Yeah, that's what I did. I blowed you up.
Nice.
Just because I know how to use a coat hanger doesn't mean I'm pro-choice. And I wish I could get this through the heads of a lot of you blisters out there. A lot of you blisters out there. You do what you got to do, okay, friends? So don't go down that road with me. And a lot of you people who write me letters, send me emails, calling me a full-blown hypocrite, what is that about? Where are you coming up with that? So I took the coat hanger, rooted around up there for a while, came out with something that looked like shrimp cocktail on the other end of it, flushed it down the toilet. That doesn't make me pro-choice. She was 17. Think I'm going to throw a career away on that? Man, you got to do a lot better than that. You take the coat hanger, you go up there, you come out with a little barbecued shrimp, boom! Don't start going down that race road with me or that pro-choice thing. Because I'm the prophet. Phil the Prophet, one of the leading conservative thinkers of this millennium. And that's all there is to it. I was talking to my gardener the other day. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Do you pay taxes? Is he legal? You liberals love to play that game, okay? I happen to have 3.5 acres out here in Calabasas. You go right ahead and you go out there and take care of it for me. Now, my gardener lives in a wonderful structure out here near Oxnard. They only spray the fields once a week. His family only has to breathe most of those noxious fumes, probably 2 days a week. And certainly his wife takes in cleaning while she goes downtown on 5 separate buses. Takes her 6 hours to get to work there, sorting other people's laundry. Meanwhile, the kids are out there trying to scrub the undersides of cars. That takes them about 5, 6 buses to get to those jobs. What? I'm not allowed to have a gardener? Don't say that I'm pro-immigration. These Mexicans need to go back to Mexico where they belong with a 6-month probation for the people who work for me. But only 6 months. Because I can't stand these Mexicans coming over the border and taking American jobs. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Senor Henry, I'm here. I wanted to know if you wanted to have the rose bushes trimmed back today.
Yeah, trim back the rose bushes, okay.
So are you going to pay me today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll pay. Maybe not. I don't know.
Jeez, my family is starving.
Get out of here. I blew him up. Let me tell you something before you start calling me a hypocrite on that one. That chili con carne that works for me out there doing my lawn and doing all of my roses and stuff, I give that guy Miracle-Gro on top of what I pay him. So don't start telling me that I'm some kind of a pro-immigration guy just because I've got a couple of people at work in my house. Well, maybe a half a dozen. Make it a dozen because we're having a party this weekend. You're listening to the Prophet Phil Hendry. Okay, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So there's the prophet. And that guy is too much. He makes sense to me, man. I'm voting Bush. Those conservatives, they make more and more sense as time goes on, don't they? They just do. You listen to the things they say, this country and that, and, you know, let's just get back. I'm reading a hell of a book right now called "The How We Got Here, the 70s. It's about the 70s, but it's about more than that. It's about how we got here, which is the 70s being the matrix. It was where the present time, where the 90s and beyond started. We went on a bender in the 70s because we were celebrating a whole new era. And one of the things about this book is, and I'm a liberal Democrat, I don't hit that too hard on this show because the show's not about politics, but that's what I am. And the reason why I say that is because I'm reading this book. It was written by a conservative guy who brings up a lot of really interesting things, most of which have to do with family, you know, and how families are structured, and what makes sense. Women's liberation, for instance, you know, and the, you know, how all of that started. You know, women began thinking about their lives, and men started thinking about their lives. All this bull crap, you know. But one of the things that started in the 70s that we're just getting over now is this whole idea that, you know, we were so bloody important, we ourselves, and our kids were sort of not. And you know, so you'd go jogging. And you were celebrating at the temple of your body. You would jog. You know, you guys don't remember jogging, but jogging was a real, that was a treat and a half. You know what jogging, it's just running in a sweatsuit. In the 70s, they had these sweatsuits, and these sweatsuits got to be such style thing. People would wear them like to the movies. They would get into their sweatsuit and go to work with the permed hair. So you see a guy with a permed Robert Blake. Is that the guy? Who's the guy? Robert Reed. The permed Robert Reed do with the sweatsuit and the sneakers going to work, you know. And this was, you know, one of the things that happened then. And then there was, how many of you guys remember the whole sort of imbecilic attachment that we had toward, you know, well, I don't want to say pet rocks because that really wasn't the point. But these little bits and pieces of time, you know, the little bits and pieces of this decade that had to do with triviality and self-consumption and self-absorption and being completely into yourself, you know, to the point where, well, your kids didn't matter much. And hey, man, if you want to get married, that's cool. But if you want to, you know, live with somebody, that's cool, too. So I'm reading this thing, and suddenly this what this guy's saying makes sense. And here's basically the guy's pitch. So when did it all of a sudden become a committed relationship when you're not married or engaged to somebody? When did that start? See, there was a time, the only time you could be committed to somebody is if you were married or engaged to them. Other than that, it was bullcrap. It's bullcrap. But do you know the angst? Do you know the hell that we put ourselves through? I'm talking about me, man. Before I got married, you know, 24 some odd years of being a single guy outside of 26 years of being a single guy outside of living with my mother and father. And when I got into a relationship, quote unquote, with a woman, I went all to pieces if I cheated on her or if she cheated on, quote, cheated. You can't cheat on somebody unless you're married to them. And this guy makes this point. I thought, geez, this is, you know what? Makes sense to me. Otherwise, what exactly are you cheating on, man? If you ain't engaged to that broad or married to her, you can't cheat on her. You can't. And she can't cheat on you. You got no freaking commitment. You're living together, whatever. I remember living with women. And when you would break up with them, it would be like being in a divorce, you know? I mean, emotionally, you felt very strongly. And I think to myself, well, why didn't I just marry them? I mean, you know, well, don't marry them because then she's going to wind up getting your money. Well, bull crap. Wind up getting your freaking money. Hey, man, if you loved her and you were moving in with her, why didn't you marry her? Why didn't you just marry her? Well, you know, because I don't, you know, we don't have to get married. In the eyes of each other, we're our, practice for what? What do you mean practice? Schaefer, what a smartass. Practice. Practice in what? You can practice all you want with your right hand. That's all you want to practice for. So I'm reading this guy, I'm going, Jesus, this guy makes sense. The rest of it's a bunch of crap. But it all started back then. It all started in the 70s, man. Didn't start in the 60s. Hey, I got a big news flash for you. Most of America was not against the war in the 60s. Most of America loved the freaking war in Vietnam. So forget about the 60s. It all started in the 70s. And that whole idea of moving in with your girlfriend or moving in with your boyfriend or why buy a cow when milk's so cheap or whatever the hell you want to call it, where you can go and just live and be. And hey, you know what? As long as we love each other, we don't have to have a piece of paper from society. And when you talk about chicken crap. But the worst part of all of that was that all of a sudden you're going through these head trips because you think you're cheating on somebody because you think you got some committed relationship. You ain't got jack. You ain't got no committed relationship with nobody. Hey, we're monogamous. You know that one? Are we now monogamous to each other? Are we now committed to each other? Are we? If we're committed to it, we're officially committed to each other. Okay, great. So we're now monogamous. You got yourself a handshake at best, Charlie. You ain't no monogamous. Monogamous with who? The only time you got a commitment from anybody is when you're engaged or when you're married. The rest of it's caca. And that's what this guy's pointing out. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, man, you're right. It's true, Melissa. You can shake your freaking head in there. What are you talking about, man? What exactly kind of a relationship have you got with someone if you're not engaged to them or you're not married to them? What exactly? You're going steady? And if you were to cheat on that person, and would you be truly cheating on them, or would you just, you were going, cheating in what sense? Suddenly, it's all cheating. You're cheating on somebody. You know, a kid can't just have a nice relationship with a girl and maybe go out with another girl or go out with another guy. You can't just let kids be kids, right? All of a sudden, they got to cheat on each other, man. You're getting this going when they're like 13. Like our oldest guy, Nick. He's talking about chicks dumping on him and dumping and all this crap. Ain't nobody dumping nothing, man. Here's a box of rubbers. I'm joking about that, but, you know. I say all of these things very proudly because now I'm a married man. Had I known all this stuff before I got married, I'd probably still be married, but fortunately for me, I met the right woman and all that bullcrap. But let's just say, for instance, that I was still single. Well, then I wouldn't be going through all the head trips that I went through about this cheating and commitment and all of this stuff. This nonsense, man. It's true. You ought to get married. And once you get married, then you ought to stick with it, you know? Don't be a pussy. Stick with it. Right now, we got the most pussified generation of Americans in the history of the world. And we're raising one that's even more pussy. The kids that are coming out of high school now, they don't know from anything, man. They are soft. They've been through nothing. They've worked for nothing. They can't even have any jobs now. I got the oldest guy. I said, well, we tried to get him in here to work. Remember that when we had Nick here? Well, guess what? He can't work because he's got football, summer reading, and he has to have his rear end talcumed a couple of times a week and have his butt wiped, and he needs his diapers changed on Friday. So he can't have a job. So I guess we're just going to have to keep handing him dough, right? Do I really sound like the curmudgeon dad or not? So how about going out and working for it? Well, he can't do that because he's got so much else. I don't want him working until he's out of high school. And boy, he's really going to be prepared for the workplace then, won't he? Out of high school, and then what? Then he's going to, and then you can work your way through college. This dude, he wouldn't know how to flip the fries over at McDonald's. At 18, you're going to start working lot pickup and fry bin? You should learn fry bin at 14. So, there you go. Unlike all the hard asses that we are, right? So I read that and I thought, you know what? This is a really interesting book. I like this book. And this guy's making some sense. Oh, and then the other thing this cat got into, which was absolutely phenomenal, was the whole end of the world thing that started in the 70s. The whole Apocalypse Now and the whole millennium thing started in the 70s. Now, there were a bunch of these real brain surgeons who back then thought that an ice age was going to destroy the Earth. That is, an ice age, a new ice age of glaciers that would descend from the North Pole and eventually cover the Earth, as in the ice age of many millions of years ago. But wait a second, the very same guy that came up with that theory, he flipped on that. Now he believes in global warming. That's what's really going to happen. Now it's going to warm up, you see. And, oh, wait a second. It's not going to warm up so much as we're going to not have any water. That's what's going to be the new problem. No, wait a minute. There's a new problem. These guys got 16 different theories. That is, of course, unless the population explosion gets us. In 1970, this guy writes a book, Paul Ehrlich, called The Population Bomb, about how we wouldn't have enough food by 1980 and everything was good. This guy sounds like a guest on Art Bell. You guys don't know this because you're too young, but by 1980, we were supposed to have so many people on Earth that we were going to have, like the whole nations were going to die off, and in America, we'd have to stop having kids, and there wouldn't be enough food. That was by 1980. This guy named Paul Ehrlich wrote this book. You don't know about this crap that was going on. That was the 70s. So ever since then, we've been in a panic about everything. Even though we haven't died, there's plenty of food, and the only reason why there's famine anywhere has nothing whatsoever to do with our ability to grow food. It has to do with politics. That's why people starve, not because we can't grow food. There's enough land, there's enough water, there's everything to grow all kinds of food. We could feed people 50 times over. The reason why people starve in places like Africa, for instance, is because of politics. They don't want them to have the food because they want to start some Stalin-like exodus. They don't want to have them to give them the food because they belong to the wrong tribe. They don't want to have the food because they want more political control over these sectors. That's the reason why there's no food and why there's famine. We can grow all kinds of freaking food. And we never had a population explosion that we couldn't handle. The Chinese got over 1 billion damn people over there, and you've never seen a country with more food in it. How do I know? I've been there, man. I walk down those streets. You know what they have in China? Bakeries. You look at a country where they have 1 billion people, man, the basic thing of rice and all that, they got bakeries. Walk down a street in China, they've got candy and cakes and cupcakes and cookies and all kinds of crap. They got a hell of a sweet tooth over there. Those Chinese, and boy, you talk about bad teeth. But anyway. And also, they're very loyal to each other in Africa and China because they're too weak to cheat on each other from starvation. So there you go. So I say, more famines, less cheating. Anyway, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Phil Hendry Show here, back from Mexico, but still feeling the effects. Actually, everything was fine there. I got here and got sick. So don't let anybody tell you that the water in America won't kill you, because it's killing me, and the food too. And that's a heck of a thing to say. Although my wife and kids are out of town, they're at the Colorado River, and that's great. They caravaned out of here on Saturday morning with about 20 other women. So this is an all-woman's expedition, expedition, yeah, with the kids. It's going to be all wives, all women, and kids, children. And I said, that's awesome. And they're hauling boats, they're hauling Sea-Doos, they're hauling all kinds of crap, right? And they're packing guns, man, so don't even think about it. I ain't kidding. My wife isn't, but I know at least two or three of them is, or am, or was, or something like that. These chicks ain't going to take no crap. And I just talked to him yesterday at the river, having a blast. And I'm here. And guess what I'm eating now? I'm back to my bachelor food. I'm going in, carving off large chunks of cheddar cheese and just eating a piece of bread and eating cheese. That's how I'm eating now. Do you think I'm eating anything hot? Forget it, friend. By the way, I found out that Jethro Tull is going to be out here close to where I live, the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Jethro Tull, but for years they were a great band, and they toured and were very popular. And of course, now they don't really make the hit albums that they used to. But I saw them when I was in my late teens and early 20s, probably about 6-7 times. Really liked them on stage. Then I found out that they're appearing 3 blocks from my house. So I got on the phone, and I know somebody over there, and I go, yo, Jethro Tull on September 16th, Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza.
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry.
I said, can I score some seats now? Sure. So I got, like, third row center. And the bad thing about it is these guys are all, like, 55 now. So they're all going to come, like, limping out there. And I'll be limping in. Bald and fat, and here comes Ian Anderson the same way. But that's okay. Because you know what? I've worked that way. I've worked my way up in life now, and I can afford those $75 seats, even if I can't get myself to the car to go to drive down there to get into the place to actually sit there and listen to it. So that's going on, and I hope my wife comes back from the river so we can go see that. I'm just kidding around, baby. Have a great time. Now, let's. We were talking about real pussies. Mike Schaefer, I don't believe it, but Mike Schaefer said Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is the biggest pussy that he's ever heard in his life. Now, you decide. We're going to hear Limp Bizkit now, Fred Durst, who Mike Schaefer says is a punk, here on The Phil Henry Show.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is... Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days.
Phil Henry.
Mm-hmm. What?
It's just one of those days, feeling like a freight train. First one to complain, least with the blood stain. Damn right, I'm a maniac. You better watch your back, cause I'm f***ing up your program. And if you're stuck up, you're just locked up. Next in line to get f***ed up. Your best bet is to stay away, mother. It's just one of those days.
Yeah.
It's all about the he says, she says, fools.
Yeah.
I feel like my suggestion is to keep your distance, cause right now I'm dangerous.
Okay, no.
I feel like I've been treated like all those motherfuckers that wanna step up. I hope you know I pack a chainsaw. I'll skin your ass raw.
Total loser.
So come and get it.